Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ken Fallon. In today's episode, I'm going to tell you the story of my first trip to the States. And bear with me, there's a reason for this. I learned an awful lot. The first thing I learned was that you should always travel with your own travel itinerary, with your own plane tickets, with the address of the hotel that you're going to be in. When you're in the States, just because it looks like a movie set doesn't necessarily mean it is. A construction worker might actually be a construction worker and not an undercover FBI agent. And I also learned that there's more than one way of driving a car. Vis-a-vis, I don't like automatics. I've been to the States a good few times since then, and I have adjusted to these things. But the first time I arrived, I landed in Kansas City, and the person I was traveling with was stopping over at New York. So I had 2 days in Kansas City to kill, basically. And we were going to be taken out in Kansas City by work colleagues, so I didn't see there was a whole lot of point in me going downtown myself. So I took out the map after breakfast, which was early because I had jet lag, and I looked on the map and I saw two things. One was Tulsa, and you all know the song, I'm only 24 hours from Tulsa, and Oklahoma, one of my father's favorite musicals. So I decided, well, it's only that far on the map, I should hire a car and go down that far. That was another thing I learned that day, was that far on the map is relative. Anyway, I picked up the phone, contacted reception, asked them if they could put me through to the local car hire place, which they did. Asked the car hire dude, was there any problem renting a car with an international driver's license? He answered, do you have a major credit card, sir? I said, Visa. He said, I foresee no problems. And indeed, there was no problems. When I got to the car hire place, it was relatively early in the morning, and there was no one around, so he also had upgraded me to some nice car, the real sportsy type car. I have no idea what the model was now. However, it was parked right outside the big bay window of the car hire place. And so I did my thing, driver's license, photocopied everything, signed all the forms, got all the insurance, everything was hunky-dory, and he gave me the keys and said, okay, there's your car, it's right outside. So sat in the car, put my rucksack in on the seat, and proceeded to turn it on. Now, I hadn't fallen for the steering wheel is on the wrong side trick, because I had driven left-hand drive cars before around Europe. So that wasn't anything new to me. So I looked in and I saw the steering wheel, under the steering wheel, that there was only two pedals. I was going, either somebody stolen a pedal, or this is an automatic. So, figured it was an automatic. Had a look, PDN, okay, I can get all these things, park, drive, reverse, neutral, I guess. The 1, 2, and 3 probably means, you know, first, second, and third gear if you want traction. Okay, fair enough. Sat down, this couldn't be too difficult. Turned on the ignition, doing, 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 which on a side note is incredibly annoying. So, okay, I'd seen enough movies to know, seatbelt on, click, grand. Turned on the car, nothing happens. Okay, I think it's supposed to be in P. Okay, so put it in P, try it again, nothing happens. So I put it into N, perhaps you have to have it in neutral, okay. Turn the key, nothing happens. So try all the gears, nothing happens. Begin to get a little bit flustered, because I'd done this, took the key out, maybe there was a burglar alarm thing that I needed to turn on, all these thoughts going through my head. Meanwhile, time is passing, more people are coming into the shop, or into the car hire place, and they're right in front of me, and sort of, after a while, people are looking out, you know, and you can hear them going, you can see them going, is that guy okay? So I take out the map, put it over the windscreen so that nobody could see me, and I got really lost my temper. And during that, I put my foot on the brake and the car started. So, a minor simple thing, you have to have it in in, what is it, neutral or park, I think, and you have to foot on the brake, is the thing that starts the car. Now, there are probably millions of people listening to this who are, well, there are millions of people in the States who know that. They just know that. I didn't, because I was not accustomed to that. Now, you might say there's not a major difference between driving a stick shift and driving an automatic, and there isn't. So, why was I having so many problems with this? You know, especially when I'm, a qualified engineer and relatively technical. And, you know, since then, my brother has a hydraulic digger, you know, one of these caterpillar things with the arm that goes up, and a mechanical digger. And I sat in that thing, and I had no problem driving that thing. I had no clue. I'd never experienced this before. You know, there's joysticks, and there's pedals on the ground, and there's pedals, handle pedals that you have to have. And I had less problem driving that than I had driving an automatic car. And you would think that there was, you know, it was a bigger change. And of course, the reason for this is that when I was driving the digger, I had no perception of what it was going to be like. So I asked my brother, okay, what do I need to do? How do I make it go forward and backward? How do I, you know, revolve it left and right? How do I make the shovel work? So I asked these questions. And, you know, if we look at, if we take this user experience thing and what people perceive from a desktop or from an interface, and we take that to, say, Linux, for instance, then, you know, that sort of goes a long way to explain why a lot of people don't have problems with the Linux interface. Take my wife, for instance. All my kids use Linux every day without problem. My mother-in-law, her partner passed away, and I switched her from Windows to Linux. And, you know, it's been months. I haven't heard from her. I see her, you know, her name come up on the instant message thing, so she's using it every day. We get emails, she checks her websites, she does her tax online, and she's just using Linux. Okay, I mean, completely untechnical user. Why is this possible? On the other hand, my wife has gone from using whatever desktop I happen to be in at the moment, on whatever distro she's used. She's probably used more distros and desktops than Linus Torvalds has. And yet, you know, if I ask her who Linus Torvalds is, her answer is, he's that Linux dude. And from her point of view, and I know this was discussed on the Linux Link Tech Show, but from her point of view, Linux is just the computer is just a tool. She'll go and she wants to know where her email is and her and the web is. Now, I have since then switched to Debian, and of course forgot that it's now iStove and iSweezel. So I went off to work and I came back, and then I realized that I hadn't told her, and she. I said, "Oh, you're in your email and the web browser." She says, "Yeah, I had a look around to see if I could get it going." I said, "Oh, you've already printed?" "Yeah, I had a look around to see how I could get it going, and it just came up by itself, so that was fine." And you know, that to me means, yes, the desktop is absolutely 100% ready. And you know, this is for somebody who could care less, really could care less, and you know. Tibet Lin, I would say, yes, there are definitely people out there who could care less about Linux. I'm of course happy that she is running Linux, but from her point of view, she is into other things like handicapped kids, people with hearing disabilities, the whole social thing. And yeah, I'm glad she is. So, why then do we continue to hear from people that Linux isn't ready for the desktop and Linux is too complicated? Now, I'd like to hazard a guess at this one. Taking my experience from driving that automatic car in the States, I have the feeling that I brought to that the perceptions of how it should work. And I got frustrated when it didn't work exactly like I thought it should, or it didn't act like I thought it should. which is why I think power users, Windows power users, are coming to the Linux environment or the Unix environment have a lot more problems, because you're bringing all this baggage with you. And I say this because I have been a Windows admin and I know how tough it is. So if there's one thing that I'll say as the airplane goes overhead is, be prepared to ask questions. Don't be ashamed that you don't know everything. So is that all we can learn from this experience? Ken's first trip to the States? Well, no. For one thing, the auto industry is a fantastic analogy for us to explain some of the more complex, more difficult to grasp concepts to new people. For example, you can say that the kernel is like an engine in your car. You've got a diesel engine, FreeBSD for instance. You've got a gas turbine engine, might be OpenSolaris, and you've got a Linux engine, a turbo-powered jet engine or whatever. The GNU tools is the auto manufacturer that makes the nuts and bolts, the brakes, all the boring bits that help to assemble the car. The distros themselves are just a brand name of a car. So for instance, it's essentially a car with a petrol engine, or a VW car is the same as a Toyota car in that it's got an engine, a steering wheel, but the indicators might be on the different side, the brake pedal might look different, dash might look different, seats might be a little bit different. So essentially it's the same concept, but a distro is the car. And just to finalize all of that, wouldn't it be a very, very sad world that if now, over 100 years after the automobile has been invented, if we were all still driving a Model T? With that, I'll leave you. Thank you very much for listening, and tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker Public Radio.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Public Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.